Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Cinder and the Prince of Midnight by Susan E. Narrated by Caitlin Davies. Chapter 1. Cinder ran for her life under the full moon. She sped through the trees, jumped over streams, and climbed over rocks, all the while panting so loudly that she was afraid the entire forest would betray her. Barely out of girlhood, she had had plenty of practice running and jumping, but nothing had prepared her for this. Behind her, she could hear the hounds baying and barking. The hooves of horses clattered behind her. The men were in no hurry, other than for the sport of it. She had seen some of their war horses decked out in bells and gold trimming, with heavily embroidered bridles. It was as if the lords were about to go on a parade through the town. Under the moonlight, they had looked as handsome as heroes of old riding in to save the damsel in distress. When she'd first seen them gathering outside the castle walls, she'd thought they were here to stop the hunt. For a moment, she thought she and the others had been saved. But as soon as one of them leered at her, she knew she was mistaken. These noble-looking men were the hunters. She thought she could hear the screaming of a wraith horse so close that her heart skipped a few beats. She imagined a wraith horse rearing up in the air with its flaming mane and tail, but she knew the hunters only rode ordinary horses. Wraith horses were rare, and not likely to be wasted on such easy prey as chasing down girls like her. Cinder ran up a hill and took the risk of turning to see how close they were. Below her, the dogs were crossing the stream. Only a few steps behind them, the first hunters rode out of the trees on their war horses. They were laughing. These men of the Dark Realm. She spun to run, but stopped short, startled. A pair of huge eyes flashed in the moonlight ahead of her. She jumped in fright and almost screamed, before she realized that the eyes belonged to a girl. The girl looked as startled and terrified as Cinder. There was a moment of relief when each realized that the other wasn't a hunter, but a hunted, like herself. They both silently looked away and ran in different directions. This was Cinder's first hunt, but she shared the sense of desperation with the other people who'd already been through this before. The ground on the hillside was slippery with dead leaves, and Cinder kept slipping. She tripped on her dress and fell, painfully landing on her knees against a fallen tree. She wanted to rip the cloth and shove it away, but it was the only protection she had against the world. She grabbed it in both hands and ran. The hounds must have caught the other girl's scent, because their barking veered off in the direction of the other girl. Cinder couldn't help but glance back. All she saw was a forest of shadows. The full moon streamed down in broken beams through the trees. A horse crashed through the underbrush behind her. Cinder spun to see a horse rearing up near her. She took two steps back and tripped. The scream of the horse was deafening, but it wasn't a wraith horse, just an ordinary horse. She took courage from that. She scrambled onto her knees and was running before she was properly on her feet.
There you are.
The rider sounded drunk and far too close behind her. A huge weight thunked onto her back as he landed on her. She crashed down hard on her chin and arms. Pinned under the weight of a fully grown man, her skinny muscles were no match for him. But she wouldn't give up. Couldn't. He put his thick, slimy lips to her face. She turned her head enough so that he ended up licking her cheek. She turned her face and bit into his jowl. Somewhere in the nearby trees, a girl's scream echoed through the night. Men laughed in the shadows somewhere in the distance. Her attacker turned angry. He slapped her. Then he made a fist and pounded it down toward her face. She jerked her head out of the way. His fist landed hard against the rock that was beneath her head. He howled in his pain and fury. She twisted, kicked and squirmed with as much force as she could. Just as she was about to slip out from under him, he grabbed the neckline of her dress and ripped it down. Until then, she had been terrified. But now, anger boiled up, mixing with the fear. She groped in the dirt and grabbed the first thing she could hold. A rock, solid and round. She pounded it with all her might against the attacker's head. He gave a surprised grunt and rolled partway off her. On pure instinct, she hit him again with the rock. He grunted again, and this time, he lay still. It was as if he was asleep, except for the trickle of wetness from his head. Had she killed him? She shoved his legs off her and scrambled away on her hands and knees. She looked at the rock still in her hand. She hadn't noticed before how sharp it was. She had blindly grabbed a rock by the rounded side and hit him with the sharp edge. There was blood on that edge. She dropped the rock and stood on her feet. He could get up at any moment and attack her again. The hounds were barking closer now. Had they found the other girl? She turned and ran, leaving the man bleeding on the forest floor. Chapter 2. Cinder wandered for hours, trying to find her way out of the forest of shadows. She'd sometimes hear the hounds barking or men shouting excitedly. Sometimes she heard screams. Horrible, wretched screams. But she stayed hidden and kept moving, knowing that eventually she'd find the edge of the forest. When the tree shadows finally thinned and she began to hear the lowing of livestock, she almost cried in relief. She stumbled out of the forest, feeling like she'd just clawed her way back from the dead. By the time Cinder limped back to her house, the sky was beginning to glow red from the sunrise. Her knees were skinned and bleeding. Her dress was in tattered ruins. Her hair was so tangled that she thought she might have to cut it off. Cinder cried when she saw her house. Big, heaving sobs as she watched the sun rise over her once happy home. She stood by the haystacks, a field away from the edge of the woods. That forest used to be an enchanted place of make-believe in her earlier years, the years when her papa had kept the darkness of the rest of the kingdom away from her life. But things had changed. The forest was now a terrifying place full of nightmares and monsters. The home she had dearly loved was dominated by a woman who sold her to the hunt for shopping money. Cinder wanted to run away and never come back. She wanted her father back, and she wanted to be the girl she once was before she left an unconscious man bleeding in the dark forest. Cinder sat and cried for a long time, wishing for a different life. But eventually, she came to the conclusion she always did. There was nowhere else to go. The only way out of the Kingdom of Midnight was through the forest. Only a few knew the way out, and they weren't allowed to talk about it without permission of the Dark King himself. Even if she knew how to leave the kingdom, she had no one else to go to other than her stepmother. When Cinder limped into the house through the kitchen door, there was fresh bread and milk on the table. That was unusual. The scent of freshly baked bread wafted to her nose. On any other day, she would have gobbled up the treat, but today she didn't think she could stomach it. All she wanted was to sleep for a week. She walked like an old woman up the stairs to her tiny attic room. It was too early for anyone to be up, so she wasn't surprised that she didn't see anybody. When she got to her room, she stopped. There was a dress on the bed. It was mended and colorless, but it would replace the one she was holding together against her chest. Helene had known what would happen. She knew that if Cinder survived the night, her dress would be ruined. Helene knew all the horrible things that could happen to Cinder in the forest at night with those horrible men who were supposed to be heroes on their steeds. She would have wept some more if she hadn't been so drained. Instead, she shoved the dress to the floor and slept like the dead. The next day was an unexpectedly easy day for Cinder. She couldn't remember Helene leaving her alone for a full day before. She saw her, of course, and she still had her usual chores to do, but her stepmother didn't speak to her and wouldn't meet her eyes. Helene had also refused to look at Cinder yesterday when she had dropped her off at the hunt and taken a bag of coins in exchange. The woman had simply turned her back and walked away while Cinder begged her not to leave her there. Cinder didn't know exactly what would happen, but she had heard whispers of the hunt. Everyone knew about it, even if no one talked about it in polite society. But today was different. Today, everywhere she turned, someone was talking about the hunt. Cinder walked through the open stalls of the market, trying not to look at anyone. It was a shameful thing to be one of the people in the hunt. Even the little ones sometimes threw rocks at those survivors. And now Cinder was one of them.
Did you hear? A girl killed a hunter last night.
She looked up. Two merchants spoke in a normal tone of voice, which was unusual when it came to the hunt.
I did hear, but I heard it was a wild fairy who mauled him.
The first merchant lowered his voice.
That was just a story the man's family put out to try to stem the embarrassment. But the body was mauled, wasn't it? I heard his arm was chewed off.
The first merchant raised his eyebrows.
Some say it was the girl.
He nodded knowingly.
The girl?
The second merchant's eyes were huge. There was a spark of excitement. He swept his eyes through the crowd in the market, as if he was imagining meeting that very girl right here. Cinder turned away before he could see the guilt in her face. She walked over to the flower stall. Her stepmother liked fresh flowers in the house whenever she had guests over. The stall was full of bright colors that smelled of honey and summer. Her stepsisters, who unfortunately had come with her today, were whispering about the man who had been murdered. Tammy said he had been ambushed by a gang of girls in the woods, but Darlene said it was a pack of wolfkin led by a girl. The story seemed to get bigger by the minute.
It's about time, said Silver the flower grower.
The flower vendor had silver hair like her name, and her stall was the only one in the market that sold flowers, the rarest of commodities in the land. Someone said it almost took magic to grow them in the kingdom, since the Dark King took over.
What's about time? Asked Tammy.
That one of those girls stood up to those horrible men. Silver clipped hard with her grandmother hands.
She arranged flowers beside her granddaughter, Ruby, who clipped the needle-sharp thorns off long-stemmed roses. Anyone could sign up for the hunt. The hunters paid for volunteers to be hunted. Desperately poor people sometimes signed up for the money, but more often, people signed up someone else they had control over. The hunters paid more for girls, so there tended to be more of them.
They're just disreputable girls, said Tammy. It's their lot in life to serve.
Cinder wondered if her stepsisters knew that their mother had sold Cinder into being one of those disreputable girls.
Yes, said Darlene. The lords get their natural aggression out of the way with them, so they can be perfectly gentlemanly to us ladies.
Ooh,
Tammy held up an orchid.
I should like this one. It matches my dress.
That one's not for sale, said Silver.
Tammy looked perplexed.
Why would a flower peddler not have one of her flowers for sale?
This one's for sale, though.
Silver picked up an especially thorny rose and thrust it at Tammy.
It'll go lovely with your disposition.
Tammy raised herself to her full height and looked down her nose at Silver.
You are an obnoxious, offensive woman. I'm going to tell Mama to never give you another coin again.
She turned and huffed off. Darlene snickered as she followed her sister. Silver sighed as she put down the thorny rose. She gave Cinder a hard look. Ruby, who was a couple of winters younger than Cinder, looked up and gave Cinder a shy smile.
Here, child, said Silver. You look like you could use this to brighten your day.
She handed Cinder the orchid. Cinder shook her head. I don't have any money.
I didn't ask for money. I told your nasty stepsister that it wasn't for sale. And it isn't. It's a gift.
Cinder took the orchid.
Thank you.
Her voice trembled.
It's been a long time since someone has been kind to me.
Quit feeling sorry for yourself. It does not become you. You are a strong girl, just as your father was a strong boy. He made something of himself from nothing. None of us had anything during the war or after, but your father, he was both clever and strong. You have his blood running through your veins. Be proud of it.
Cinder tried not to let her lips quiver over the kind words.
I miss him.
Silver sighed.
When I was your age, I was already fighting in the war with both knife and sword. You think you have it tough? I'll tell you who has it tough. The girl who killed that lord during the hunt. That's who. She was probably only a slip of a girl with no choice but to defend herself. You could learn a thing or two from her.
Silver turned and began clipping her flowers as if she was still fighting the war, and the flowers were her enemy.
Chapter 3. The next day, her stepmother's guilt had passed, and Cinder's life was full of urgent chores that garnered nothing but complaints. The days passed by as she scrubbed the stairs and beat the carpets, while her stepsisters took piano and dance lessons. Cinder did her best to forget about that night of the hunt, but it was hard with everyone gossiping about it. She had nightmares of being caught. Sometimes, her nightmares included the Dark King's men dragging her out of her house while shouting accusations of murder. A couple of days after the hunt, the kingdom was abuzz with the news of the Dark King laughing when he found out about the nobleman who was killed by a hunted girl. He found it so amusing that he declared that he would personally participate in the next hunt. Suddenly, the hunt that had been a sordid open secret in the land was becoming the height of fashion. The dead man's family was so incensed with the embarrassment that they put a bounty on the girl's head.
"You'd better behave and be extra good, Cinder," said Helene, as she clasped her new pearl necklace around her neck. "That bounty is worth more than 10 of you. I doubt anyone would believe that a ratty little thing like you could possibly accost a nobleman. But if you try me, I may lose my patience and try to sell you to them for half their bounty."
For a heart-pounding second, Cinder thought that Helene knew the truth. But if she had sniffed the possibility of money, then Helene would never have turned back to her mirror the way she did. Cinder put her head down and scrubbed the floor, hoping that her stepmother would move on to another topic.
"Perhaps I'll get lucky," said Helene, "and you'll be the one to injure a lord on the next hunt. One can only hope that you'll earn your keep one of these days."
Cinder stopped scrubbing and looked up at Helene. "Next hunt?" Cinder felt haunted by the thought.
"It does happen at every full moon, you know. Mouths must be fed, and young girls need to at least try to earn their keep in this household."
"Mama," said Tammy as she flounced into the room, "my ribbons are so old and faded. Must I be embarrassed every day by the poor quality of our silks?"
Helene put her arm around the girl and walked her into the drawing room.
"No need to get upset, dear. Being the clever woman that I am, I've discovered a new income stream for us. Tomorrow we can go to the market. You can pick out whatever colors you like."
Cinder knelt and stared at the suds on the floor. A new income stream. The next hunt. Every full moon. Her whole body began to tremble, and she could hardly breathe.
Chapter 4.
Cinder normally liked market days. On those days, she was free to wander around town on her own, with no chores to do for a few hours, other than to buy whatever looked fresh. But today, she had a hard time enjoying anything. The next hunt was coming. It was weeks away, but it would inevitably come just as the moon would inevitably grow fat and full. She stumbled around, only half aware of what she was buying, when she saw the flower stall. Cinder was drawn to the stall and the silver-haired woman who was giving a basket of flowers to a customer. Cinder politely waited until the woman was gone before talking to Silver.
"Will you help me, please?"
The words barely escaped her mouth. Silver looked at her with sharp eyes.
"Help you with what, child?"
Cinder looked around to make sure no one was listening. The market was busy and everyone seemed to be preoccupied with their own business. Still, she kept her voice down to a whisper.
"I'm the girl who killed the nobleman in the woods."
Tears blurred her eyes as she whispered it, and her whole body trembled. A look of surprise came across Silver's face.
"My stepmother is going to send me on the hunt again and again, every month on the full moon. I don't know what to do."
She tried her best to keep her voice from quivering. Silver's nostrils flared and she stood tall.
"Well, blubbering about it won't help you."
Cinder blinked rapidly, feeling her eyes dry at the sting of Silver's indifferent tone. There was nothing like indifference from others to make a girl stiffen her spine and trudge on. What choice did she have?
"That's better." Silver handed her a thorny rose. "Here, come back over here and help take the thorns off. You'll at least be out of the way of my customers then."
Cinder hesitantly walked around to the other side of the stall.
Silver handed her a knife to clip and scrape the thorns. My granddaughter Ruby used to help me, but her father has too many chores for her now. Silver had thick gloves on to protect her hands, while Cinder had none. But Cinder didn't complain. It was comforting to have something to do instead of fret over what would happen in a matter of weeks. She scraped and clipped, her fingers getting prickled. When she was done with the first rose, Silver handed her more. Cinder started to say that she had her own chores to do for her stepmother, but Silver had already turned to talk to a customer. Cinder picked up a rose and began cutting off the thorns. Silver helped customers as they came by, but didn't say anything to Cinder during the quiet times. Cinder figured that maybe she was supposed to forget she'd ever confessed to her. Sometimes, people were like that. They pretended that a thing never happened, and everyone moved on as if in silent agreement. Perhaps this was supposed to be one of those times. Only, Cinder wouldn't be allowed to move on as if nothing ever happened, because it was about to happen again soon. Her hands began to tremble, and she pricked herself even more. Blood trickled down her fingers and along the rose stems. Silver took the rose out of Cinder's hands and handed her a pair of gloves. Here, use these, silly girl. Don't get blood all over my flowers. You don't want some ladyship discovering a young girl's blood on her market flowers. She may get a taste for it and come after you. Silver wiped the stem clean of blood. Cinder looked up at her nervously. Did ladies really do that? Ladies all seemed so proper and well-mannered, but she supposed her stepmother was the same way in public. In private, though, she was practically demonic. It was much easier to dethorn the roses with gloves on. When Cinder was done with the roses, Silver gave her the task of separating out dried flowers into bunches for sale. I'm sorry, but I have to go. I have chores.
Yes, you do. And they are not going to get done if you're gallivanting around to the market.
She shoved the dried flowers into Cinder's arms. Bit by bit, Silver gave her more tasks and showed her how to do them. They talked of nothing but flowers and the mindless tasks of dealing with them. Cinder gradually calmed down. It soothed her to be preoccupied, and every time her mind drifted to thoughts of running for her life through the dark forest, Silver gave her another task to do that took up all of Cinder until she got the hang of it. At the end of the market day, Cinder helped Silver pack up and put everything into her wheelbarrow. A heavy mood fell on the girl as she packed the flowers up for the morning. One more day closer to the next hunt. Silver walked away without saying goodbye, nor did she take her flowers with her.
Silver, you forgot your flowers!
She turned to look at Cinder.
What are you dawdling for? Asked Silver. Come along and bring those flowers with you. You don't expect me to push that heavy thing all the way home, do you?
Silver turned and walked away.
Chapter 5
Cinder watched Silver walking away down the market. She had already spent all day helping Silver. She'd have a full day's chores waiting for her when she got home. But she had occasionally stayed all afternoon at the market before. She picked up the flower cart and rolled after Silver. The woman was brusque and sometimes odd, but at least Cinder knew Silver didn't hate her the way her stepmother did. Silver lived in a cottage surrounded by flowers at the edge of the dark forest. Her tidy cottage stood in stark contrast to the other houses in town, which were mostly water-stained and dark. Those were houses with dark windows covered by drab curtains. Hardly anyone smiled or wore bright colors. Black had been the height of fashion for as long as Cinder could remember. The only one in town who had bright flowers all around her house was Silver. Anyone else, and it would have been downright weird. Only the wealthiest had flowers, so naturally those who were most concerned with their social status had flowers on display. The only exception was Silver. She was the town's only flower grower. Without her, there would be no perfume. Without her, there would be no color at the fancy ladies' balls. Without her, there would be no bees or honey in town. So Silver was accepted, if not exactly popular.
Leave the cart there, girl, and come inside.
Cinder looked at the darkening sky. Every year,
The night fell earlier than the year before. Now it was getting dark at 3 in the afternoon. She didn't like the idea of walking home alone in the dark, but that was the kind of thing they were all getting used to. Silver's cottage was bursting with color. Flowers, both fresh and dried, were everywhere. Others had tried to raise flowers without much success, but under Silver's hands, they bloomed almost year-round. The scent was glorious and full of spring, even though it was fall. The cottage had a large hearth with a comfortable-looking rocking chair nearby. In front of that was a large table full of flowers. Silver's home welcomed Cinder with a mixed scent of roses, honey, and rich stew. She expected Silver to pause by the hearth to kindle a fire, but instead, she lit the candles and walked into the back room. Silver was rich enough to have a two-room cottage. Only merchants and lords had multi-room houses. It was almost unheard of for a market vendor to live in a cottage made of petrified wood with more than one room. That was testimony to how valuable her services were. Not sure what she was supposed to do, Cinder followed Silver into the second room. As soon as she stepped into it, she gasped. Instead of flowers draped everywhere, there were knives, swords, spikes, and all manner of soldierly things. Metal glinted from all corners. Weapons and armor were hung on every wall.
"Stop looking so shocked," said Silver. "Every woman ought to have an armory in her house."
"But why?" Cinder gaped at the glinting knives and swords, made especially for smaller frames.
"Because we live in a world with violence and hate, where too many of the stories we hear are the Dark King's propaganda. Because half the population can kill women with their bare hands. Because there is nothing to save us but us."
She ran a finger along a blade, caressing it like a lover.
"Anyone who lays a hand on me will bleed out before he knows what hit him."
Cinder watched her with wide eyes. "But you're a grandmother. I've seen you with your grandchildren." She blinked, trying to make sense of it.
"What of it? You think you cannot be feminine and still be a deadly fighter? You think grandmothers and flower sellers can't kill and hunt and defend herself against other hunters?"
Cinder stood in the flower grower's armory and tried to breathe.
"You asked me to help you. I cannot save you, but I can teach you to save yourself. Understand? It will be hard work, harder than you've ever worked, and when the time comes, you'll be completely alone with not enough training to do much other than to confuse your clumsy body."
She walked around Cinder, squeezing her arms and tapping her calves.
"And if you're lucky enough to survive the next hunt, then you shall have passed your second test. Come back to me alive, and I'll teach you how to survive the next time, and the next, and the next. Eventually, you might look forward to the hunts."
Silver stopped directly in front of Cinder.
"Eventually, it might be the hunters who are afraid to go into the woods under a full moon."
There was a hard glint to her eyes.
"As it should be."
Cinder could hardly breathe. You'll teach me?" Silver looked her up and down with an assessing eye.
"When the wild wars started, I was younger than you. Skinny and gangly, with a body that hadn't grown into itself yet. I had my head full of stories of true love and Everness."
"Everness? The kingdom of sunshine and happiness? It's hard to imagine you believing in such a fairy tale."
"It's not a fairy tale. It's our neighboring kingdom, child. The Dark King guards the way to it, and commands all to speak of it as a silly fairy tale, because he fears that all his subjects will go there instead of staying in Midnight."
Cinder could only blink in surprise. She couldn't simply believe Silver over a lifetime of being told that there was no such place full of sunshine. Silver saw her resistance and sighed.
"Anyway, beliefs can kill. I believed fairies were wee creatures full of mischief and harmless fun, and that belief certainly killed many. When the wild wars started, we had to call the enemy wild fairies, because people were dying from their belief that ordinary fairies were harmless."
She moved to take down a tiny knife.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?